Congressman James Broyhill, January 30th, 1974.
What do you attribute the development of the Republican Party in North Carolina from basic being basically an opposition group to now a party that controls the governor's office, has one seat in the Senate, and a substantial representation in the House delegation?
Oh, I think there are probably several factors. One, of course, is the desire of people in the state for competition in government. The state controlled by one party for so long, and they demand other new phases. We've seen this happen in all Republican states, too, you know, like Kansas and some of the New England states and others. I think the splintering of the Democratic Party has helped contribute to this, not only in the state, but also in the national level. The Republican effort, though we have our moments when we're divisive too, I think it's been more of a cohesive effort over the last few years. And not without as much of the factionalism as you see in the Democratic ranks. And I believe that the National Democratic Party going to the left has tended to alienate a lot of people in our state. I would say that the factor, though, of not only on the local level but also the state level of same old faces being in office and the electorate wanting to make a change, this feeling tending to sweep through there, the Piedmont particularly, and sort of giving the impetus to, or the base for a statewide effort last year has helped to a great extent to, as well as these other factors.
Do you see North Carolina, the Republican Party in North Carolina, developing into the position similar to that in Tennessee of becoming the predominant party?
I think we have that opportunity, and we have that real possibility of being the major party. We're at that crossroads right now, being able to develop into that. It depends a great deal on the results of the of those who've been elected to leadership positions. I think that this is always true. That the particularly when you're in a minority party, you have to work a little harder to stay in and to stay in leadership, and you have to work also to make sure that your differences with those within your own party don't become so bad that it hurts you at election time when you're trying to put together the necessary combination of candidates and manpower to get your people elected. We saw this happen in Florida, as you know, where elected a governor and a senator. It looked like the Republican Party was going to be the majority party in Florida. Blew it. So a lot of the I suppose what this means that there's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of our Republican governor to produce, and the other elected officials. Of course, the governor is the one that everybody sees, the big name.
You think the Roosevelt fight anyway impedes the growth of the party?
No, I don't see that. As I say, we've always had differences in the Republican Party, just as the Democrats have. We have been fortunate, been able to pull together at election time.
Now, you've been a Republican congressman from the South for a good deal longer than most of it, and you've seen new members come in the last election and the election before. Do you notice any difference between them and the people who have been here in the Congress for 8-10 years as Republicans? Are they more conservative and more moderate and liberal? Is there any way to describe them?
No, I think it's we've always had some good members from the South. In fact, in the House, that's where our big growth has been. In fact, if the rest of the country had either maintained their relative strength of Republican representatives in the House, or had gained as much as the South, we'd be in control now. And we have generally speaking, have held on to the seats. That I'm just trying to think of. I can't think of any seats we've lost. Well, that was right. Only that's one. The one in Atlanta. That's right.
That's
Been an increase, and we've held on to them. There've been some retirements, and these have. Republicans have been elected in those places. I'm thinking in Charlotte and in Roanoke area, in the St. Pete area, where Republican members that had been elected back in the 50s either retired or ran for other office or whatever other reason, and elected other members.
There's also been growth in one area, the past election. Past Republican congressmen tended to come either from the mountain districts, some of the Republican districts, or else in the emerging areas like Memphis.
Well, actually, right. You had the Republicans in the Appalachian area, like my district, and Jimmy Quillen and so forth, you see. But you had another unusual thing that was happening starting in the 50s is that there were Republicans being elected from the cities. That is, those cities which were developing, I suppose, the suburban new people coming in and so forth, such as Charlotte, such as Birmingham and Atlanta area, and Memphis and Chattanooga and so forth. So this was quite interesting. Development. But, oddly enough, maybe we weren't doing as well, say, in a rural area like eastern North Carolina or rural Georgia or South Carolina. But there's been some change in even that direction. For example, Ed Young was elected in South Carolina from eastern South Carolina. But
is the basic direction of the party in the South conservative?
Oh, yes.
Has that changed in the last few years? The new faces that are here, are they any different than?
I don't think that they're any different. I think most of your members in the Republican side are more conservative-oriented than on the Democratic side.
Are there many issues in which the Republicans in the Congress from the South disagree?
Not a great deal.
deal. I think that whatever disagreements that we have are more individual than as a group. We don't have a group caucus as such as they do on the Democratic side, because we've been accepted on the in the House conference and listened to in the leadership level. We have representatives in the leadership. Homogeneous group.
The influence of the Democratic congressmen and senators seems to be declining in terms of committee chairmanships and seniority and so on. Does that mean that as the number of Republicans increases in the Congress, that the Republican position might strengthen in the South? You get what I'm saying? On one hand, it seems to be a decline in power because of the number of Democratic senators and congressmen retiring or being defeated. And on the other hand, you're electing more and more Republicans.
Right.
Is that going to represent a shift of power, in a sense, between one party to the other one in the South?
There's a shift. That's what we'll say a minute ago. I think there is, have been a shift in the chart. Back in 52, when Charlie Jones was elected, for example, in North Carolina, there were I think, as I recall, there were three elected. My cousin Joe Broyhill and Dick Poff and Charlie Jones elected that year from the South. And that was sort of the start of it. This year, there are Republicans in the House and Senate from every state in the South of the old Confederacy. Wasn't true when I came here in 63, 11 years ago. So there had been this shift. So.
Did you more or less grow up as a Republican?
Oh, yeah.
But only a few of the, relatively few of the, all of the Southern Republican congressmen fit that. Am I correct? Wouldn't the majority of them now have been people who were originally Democrats?
I don't know. You'll have to go ask them. I don't know what their former politics are. I'm not familiar with it. But I know that there have only been two national committeemen in North Carolina for 45 years. That's Charlie Jones's father and my father.
Well, the ones we've interviewed, most of them were Democrats who were disgruntled and disaffected and moved over to the Republican Party. Very few office holders who have the kind of background in the Republican Party that you do.
That's not so true in Tennessee, is it?
I don't know. It wouldn't be true in Tennessee. It might be. I don't know. I don't think. I think Bill Brock has always been a Republican. Kirkendall, I think Mizell may have been a Democrat in Alabama, but when he came to North Carolina, he was registered as a Republican.
Bob Daniels has always been a Republican. I guess Ed Young was a Democratic state legislator at one time.
What do you see as the proper role of the dealing with the problems in the South?
Well, I think that the any time that there's a need for a federal response is to assure to the maximum extent possible that the private sector, number one, is involved in its solution. Number two, that the states and local communities are involved in the administration of programs. And that, most of us, I think, generally over the years have opposed those programs that tend to put more and more power of administer federal programs in the federal government and tend to support those amendments which would strengthen the hand of the local and states, local communities and the states to administer.
When you speak consider yourself as being a conservative? How do you define that?
I think that if you would put it in terms of how you expand, whether you're trying to expand the power of the federal government, that for some reason that this has become called a liberal. I don't know why they call it being liberal, or spending in the financial area and the fiscal area, spending more money. But they tend to call that more liberal. Conservative members tend to vote for a more limited federal bureaucracy and to vote for those amendments which would limit the spending authority of the federal government.
You see, the way to build the Republican Party in North Carolina is to essentially keep it conservative and attract Democrats were basically conservative to the Republican Party.
Yeah, conservative to middle of the road.
Right. The same would apply then for the whole South, not just.
Yes.
Do you see that happening?
Yes.
How do you see that reflected at the state level?
What do you mean?
Well, yeah. Would Holzhauser represent that kind of a growth or shift?
Oh, sure. He feels the same way. I mean, I'm not saying that. You've got to remember that we, those of us as are Republicans, and particularly like Holzhauser, myself, lifelong, feel that the state has an obligation to meet its responsibilities. And so the fact that he may advocate more of an activist role as on the state level doesn't mean that he doesn't. He feels that. That he is abandoning his conservative instincts. But I feel the same way. I don't think there's any inconsistency there at all.
You think the state should be more activist in that sense than the federal government in dealing with
that's right.
The problem? Do you see any other directions the party should go insofar as expanding its base?
We we have to take first to show, I think, that all of the people that we can, and this is where it's so, I think that. The governors can be such a key in this effort to show people that we can be effective in running programs, and administering programs, and advocating solutions to problems at the state level. And I think that we have to show that we're appealing to all people, not just whites, but to blacks and whites, and that we're appealing to all segments of the society, not just one part of the state or the other. Can't be a party just of one group.
Well, it's become almost a truism, as we talked to a number of people, that you know, one major cause for the development of the Republican Party in the South has been the disaffection of Democrats' reaction to the National Democratic Party, and much of it tied to race.
I think that's only one part of it. I think that the Democratic Party attracting more of the populist and you want to put it on the term, ideas of the McGoverns and so forth have tended to alienate a lot of people also. national solution to every problem.
Do you think that to develop Southwide, the Republican Party in the South needs to take strong position on general area of human rights?
I think we have to show by our actions, either in administering programs or that we're in favor of helping all people, not just one group. Now, I don't think we can take positions to alienate blacks and put it in the negative. I think that if we're going to be a viable party, we've got to have some black support and a share of that support at the polls from the black community. Fortunately, over the years, we have had too many there. Too many candidates in some places that get 100% of the vote against them.
And what would be the means by which the Republican Party would attract blacks into the party in the South?
Well, that's what I've already said. I think that it's matter of how you administer the programs. I think that the governor has done a good job of showing that he's willing to bring blacks into the high administrative positions of his administration. Has certainly opened the door, and this is, I think, is refreshing.
When we interviewed Frank Rouse, he commented on some of that. And he was speaking, in a sense, objectively, as the impact of that, that he just felt that was hurting, well, I may be misrepresenting him, and I don't want to do that, but in effect, that a lot of Eastern North Carolinians who voted Republican last time were reacting in opposition to some of those appointments, or adversely.
I don't know about that.
But your,
I haven't had any opposition to it.
But your feeling is that it's more important to
I think that the governor's be commended for what he's done.
As you think back over the last 10 years, what important changes have occurred in the way you campaign, if any?
How did you happen to run, you know, originally, the first time?
I don't know. Just lucky, I guess, or unlucky. I don't know.
I mean, why? What motivated you to run?
Oh, there were a number of us that were working in the worked in several campaigns. I suppose it was, I was out actually in a group trying to find a candidate. And more and more that the group of us were going around and getting to ask me to run, sort of fell on my shoulder. Great gains at the local level, you know, for county commissioner and for local offices. And I think that this is significant. First, they made gains. I think one of the reasons was there again, you still a lot of people, you know, how the tendency is, the same old crowd stays around the courthouse, and so people say, well, we'd like to have a change. Cases they stayed in. And I don't recall that in those particular races that contest that race was a an issue. In fact, I think that in a number of cases, for example, when the sheriffs, Republican sheriffs were elected, they appointed black deputies for the first time.
Is there a difference?
But they didn't always get the vote in the black area.
Is there a difference, looking at the South as a whole, is there a distinctive difference between North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee, all of which had a tradition of what is commonly referred to as mountain republicanism, a basic Republican base that was there on which to build, and the deeper South states where the major thrust of the shift to the Republican Party came in reaction to the change in the Democratic Party nationally. Has that resulted in there being what might be referred to, at least on the racial issue, more moderate Republican parties in Tennessee, Virginia, and North Carolina, all of which had very successful Republican parties as well?
I don't know that I'm really qualified to compare the Republican Party in these states. I'm not that well acquainted with all of the, other than the congressmen here. I mean, all of the party leaders in Georgia.
I think by the time you found a developing Republican Party in your real deep South, your Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia,
I found, for example,
Louisiana area.
The Alabama boys that I worked with the longest, of course, they're, I think, quite moderate on many issues. And John Buchanan, for example, now in the past year served as our congressional representative at the UN. Jack Edwards from Alabama in our leadership. One of the members that has taken a strong stand against certain presidential stands from time to time. He's quite independent. So,
plus, in fact, I think the development of the Republican Party in the deep South really came after the change in immigration issue. You take Mississippi's example, two congressional races down to this time, you were successful in. Thad Cochran, I believe he pulled over 30% of the black vote in Hinds County, Jackson, Mississippi. And that was really the edge in that campaign, along with the fact core group of combination of people disaffected with the Democrat Party, a high group of under 35-year-olds, under 40-year-olds who have either moved to the South or else they've moved hometowns and broken the old family ties with the Democrat Party, have become interested in a more progressive or activist state government. They're looking for a party with a chance they can move upwards in. I think those are really a better place to look at the new Republican Party in the South than really looking at the racial issue. I really think that's something that disappeared from us. We're really in the 60s. Hopefully by the mid-60s. I don't really see it being a predominant influence down there anymore.
You still go back to the Helms race and the Scott race in Virginia.
And one thing I was thinking about in the Helms race, and I didn't mean to mention so much the 68 race, but the 64 race. You know, if the first district in North Carolina was ever to vote on racial lines, I think they might have in the 64 presidential election, given the way that that election was portrayed, both in the South and in the North. The first district, and correct me if I'm wrong, Goldwater ran under 40% in that first district.
I think he also made a speech in Raleigh in which he advocated an end to tobacco price supports.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. That'd make one big difference.
Yes, he did.
That's a factor that'll blow the heck out of me.
I think it was the North Carolina equivalent of the speech in Tennessee to sell TVA. A very honest position in both cases, but it certainly wasn't calculated to win political support.
My feeling was, I went to high school in Craven County, Newbern, is that the racial issue in eastern North Carolina and eastern South Carolina is given a lot more credibility and analysis than it really has in terms of making people vote. I think Jesse Helms ran a racial campaign in 1972. He would have lost the election. I don't think he would have ran as strong in the east as he did. People down there are interested generally in a good, solid conservative. And sometimes this is, I think, very improperly mistaken as being racial. It's not. It refers to an awful lot of issues, economic issues and social issues, far beyond the racial sense. I think if you went to a farmer down in eastern North Carolina or went to a shop owner in Wilmington, North Carolina, and asked him if he knew where Jesse Helms stood, it meant he stood on the right side of God, on the right side of law and order. And that to me, far transcends any sort of racial interpretation to it. It may just be a pet peeve of mine, but I really do feel it's substantially difficult to use that as a basis for analysis. Maybe you could have 6 or 8 years ago, but I don't think you can now.
Well, and that is, how do you perceive the so-called Southern strategy? What it consists of? Critics, of course.
I don't understand what it is they're referring to myself. If it means treating all sections of the country alike, then I'm for it. I haven't noticed any favoritism, if you want to put it that way. I've really never been able to define what the Northern group called the Southern Next Southern Strategy. I don't know whether they're saying that just because he's suddenly campaigning in the South and saying the same things in the South that he says in the North, and is that a Southern strategy? If you can define it for me, then I'll be glad to comment on it.
So I've heard it defined, I think, by both his defenders and his critics. And I think the defenders, such as Harry Dent, would define it as no more than treating the South like the rest of the country.
Well, if it's that, then I'm for it.
And the critics say that in saying that let the South take care of its own conditions, that what he's really saying, since the South being controlled by whites, that it's an anti-black position. That's an oversimplification, but I think that's more or less what the critics would contend.
I don't see that. That
based on a fall off of enforcement of civil rights, this sort of thing. A backing off of enforcement of civil rights. Law.
I've never seen that either.
End of interview with James Broyhill,
No more transcription this side.